This is lesson two from the Teenagers of the Bible series. I am Elder Faye, and I'm your teacher for this series. As we continue this Teens of the Bible series, we will still be focusing on staying anchored in your faith. The first teen of the Bible I would like to introduce you to in this lesson is Esther. We know her better as Queen Esther, but in this lesson, we're going to learn some things about Esther before she became queen. It is not recorded just how old Esther was when she became queen. It is suggested that she was about 19 years old when she became queen, but just a little girl around 15 years old when she came from Jerusalem with her cousin Mordecai. We'll learn more about that later on. There are five characters in this story that makes the story of Esther really come alive. Remember them. They are Queen Xerxes. If you are following me in the Old Testament, this king's name is pronounced Ahasuerus. But we are not going to follow the King James Version, because this is geared for teenagers. And the King James Version of the Bible, there are words there that are very hard to understand. And it will take some time for me to try and explain what those words mean. So we are going to stay with the New International Version of the Bible. So in the New International Version of the Bible, the king's name is pronounced King Xerxes. So, the characters in this story of King of Mordecai, Esther, and Haman. I want you to pay close attention to the relationships and interaction each one of these characters play in this amazing story. Our text will come from the book of Esther, chapter 1 through chapter 8. We have a lot of ground to cover, and I hope I don't talk too fast, and I hope you stay with me here. Let's take a look at the first two characters in our story, their relationships and interactions with each other. They are King Xerxes and Queen Esther. In Esther chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, "This is what happened during the time of King Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. Time King Xerxes reigned from the royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and nobles of all the provinces were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king. All the people, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. Look how he decorates this garden for the common people. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple materials, fastened to silver rings on marble pillows. There were couches of gold and silver setting on a mosaic pavement of a reddish purple rock containing large crystals, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's openness and kindness, representing his liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restriction all the wine spirits to serve every man as he wished. This was the style of King Xerxes. Let's meet our second character, Queen Vashti, who also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirit, wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles. For she was very lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered King's command, King Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger, since it was customary that the king to consult experts in matters of the law and justice. He spoke with the wise men who understood the time and highest in the kingdom. According to law, what must be done to Queen Vashti, he asked. He has not obeyed the command that the servants have taken to her. Then one of his closest servants replied in the presence of the king and nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but against all the nobles and the people of all the province. Queen's conduct will become known to all women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, well, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persians and the Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the law of Persia and in Media. It cannot be repealed that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then, when the king's decree is proclaimed throughout the vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. On language proclaiming that every man should be ruler of his own household. In Esther chapter 2, later, when King Xerxes' fury had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm and all the beautiful young women into a harem at the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Piega, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. Continue to listen. There's much more to come from our first character. But as for now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai. He had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. If you listen to the last Latin of the Bible lesson, you will remember that this is the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego captive. This was Daniel and his team friends Mordecai and Esther was among those captives. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman was also known as Esther. She had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. When the king's order and decree had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her not to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Before a young woman's turn to go to King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatment prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 months with perfume and cosmetics. And this is how she returned. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, she was taken to King Xerxes. The king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Esther. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He planned a holiday throughout the province and distributed gifts with royal liberality, displaying his openness and kindness in keeping with the style of King Xerxes. Esther kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instruction as she had done when he was bringing her up. Time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled and pierced on pole. Pierced on a pole meant that the person was dropped from the top of the pole and it went through the entire body. It was a horrible death and a horrible punishment. All of this was recorded in the book of the Annals in the presence of kings. I want you to remember this. It is a very important piece of information that serves. It's a very important piece of information that saves the annihilation of the Jews as the story of Esther unfolds. The good deed that Mordecai had done was recorded in the book of the Annals in the presence of the king. Remember that. You're going to hear this again. Now it is time to meet our fifth and going to meet Haman and his relationship and interaction with the other three, for Vesta is no longer in the picture. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a house higher than that of all the other nobles. Let's stop for a moment and investigate. Who was Haman that he should deserve such an honor? Listen as we learn a bit more about our fifth and last character. Haman, also known as Haman the Evil, the main adversary, our enemy in the story of Esther, who according to the Old Testament, he was a 5th century BC noble and high-ranking officer in the Persian Empire under King Xerxes. Haman was a descendant of Agag, a king of the Amalekites, and people who were wiped out in certain areas by King Saul. And now that we are familiar with all the characters, let's listen as the story of Esther unfolds. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid homage to Haman, but the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down and pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, in rage, now having learned who Mordecai's people were, he rejected the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people throughout the whole kingdom of King Xerxes. Then Haman told King Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom who keep themselves separated from those of all the other people, and they do not obey the king's law. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasurer." So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman the Agag. Your mind, the king said to Haman, "And do what you please to the people." Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day, and to plunder their goods. A copy was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so they will be ready for that day. And Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, for no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province, twisted decree and order came, there were great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's attendants and female eunuchs, he would not accept him. Then Esther summoned one of the king's eunuch assistants to attend her, who were assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. The king's eunuch went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of Jews. He also gave him a copy of the decree for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence and beg and plead for mercy. King Xerxes went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials, the people of the royal province knows that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has the one law that they be put to death unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spare their lives. 30 days has passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone and all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent in this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows whether you have come into your royal position for such a time as when we find ourselves in a position beyond our understanding and we know not what to do, we must remember to stay anchored in our faith, and start trusting God's plans for us. But we never know where we are at such a time as we are there. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as usual. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. This is by far one of my most statements in the entire Bible, because it builds your character. It lets you know where you are in your walk and your relationship with God. I want you to know that in your Christian walk, if you have never been in a position where you were afraid to do something and said, I'm going to go forward and put some trust in God and trust Him to bring me through, and if I perish, I perish. Or in this day and time, if you haven't been in that position, then I'm inclined to believe that you have never experienced the awesome power of God. Because this is the kind of trust, belief, and conviction that produces the personal relationship with God that brings you through any situation that you find yourself in. Believe me. Let's continue. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions, put on her royal robe, stood in the court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw King Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, given you. Esther answered, if it pleases the king, replied Esther, let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. Bring Haman here at once, the king said, so that we may do what Esther asked. So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, now what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request, even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Esther replied, my petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king, grant my petition and fulfill my request. King and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question. Haman went out that day happy in his high spirit. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained his contempt and went home, calling together his friends and Xerxes' wife, many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials, and that's not all, Haman added. I am the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet today, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the height of 50 cubits and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai's fact on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself. This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had a pole set up. I want you to pay close attention here, because this is an example, and this is an excellent example of what happens when you put things in God's hand and put it order the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found reported there that Mordecai had exposed two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. Remember back in Esther chapter 2, I told you to remember this incident? Listen. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this, the king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendant answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. His attendant answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king orders. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have him bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, the royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king is delighted to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse, and do just as you have suggested with Mordecai the Jew. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe, the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on the horse back to the city street, proclaiming before him, this is what's done for the man, the king, likes to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai returned to the king's gate. Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief, his wife and all his friends, everything that happened. his adversary and his wife first said to him, his advisors and his wife first said to him, since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. Talking with him, the king's eunuch arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. In Esther chapter 7, so the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king again asked Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request, even to the half of the kingdom? It will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet. Because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he? This man who has dared to do such a thing. Esther said, an adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified because the king, before the king and queen, the king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. Haman realized that the king had already decided his fate and stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king explained, will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the palace? I want you to pay close attention here. You are about to learn a good lesson about digging ditches for someone else and falling into them yourself. The word left the king's mouth, they covered his face. Then one of the eunuchs attending the king said, a pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, impale him on it. Pale Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. The same day, King Xerxes gave Esther's estate, Queen Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came into the presence of the king's reign, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai. The king's decree, because of Esther's additional request, granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and children, and to take the proper that I would love to present to you. But there are two more important teams that I must present to you before the Christmas holiday. So join me for our next teams of the Bible, Mary and Jesus. If you would like to communicate with me about these lessons or just want to talk about Jesus with me, I can be reached at ElderFayJourneyHomeMinistries.org. That's ElderFay, ELderFaye, one word, at journeyhomeministry.org. I leave you with this blessing on your life. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you peace.